This is the Evolve Marriage Podcast, episode 58. Today, Kate and I are back together answering listener questions.
Woohoo!
Yeah. And giving not only my perspective, but also Kate's feminine perspective.
The very feminine Kate perspective.
Awesome. Here we go.
Hi, I'm Kate McDougall.
And I'm Eric McDougall, certified master coach.
And this is the Evolved Marriage Podcast,
where every week you learn valuable skills to help you evolve your marriage so your best years together are ahead of you. Here we go. All right. Hey, you.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Feels good to be back.
Yeah, I love it. I love
I feel like every time I'm back, it's like a big moment. Like, oh my gosh, Kate is back.
Oh my God. I haven't seen
All of a sudden, our ratings went up again.
I haven't seen you since we did the dishes after dinner. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. I guess for the listeners, they don't get to hear from you much.
I know. Mm-hmm. They must get really sad when they don't hear my voice. I can feel you. I know.
It's like you're trying to be wanted and needed less. No, maybe you're trying to be needed less, but you're trying to be wanted more.
Ooh, wanted by you.
Oh, yeah. I like it. All right. So today we're diving into listener questions.
Listener questions.
Yeah. So I reached out to my men's community and a few clients that I had, and I said, hey, what questions do you guys want not only my perspective but also Kate's female or feminine perspective on? So we got a bunch of listener questions. We're going to go through a few of them today, and then in the future we'll have more episodes like this. We're going to call them Q&A's. Is that
Q&A's? I love it.
We're gonna come up with a better name than that. The first one is, what is a loving way to support a spouse that's experiencing moderate to severe anxiety? Mm-hmm. So this person has never personally dealt with anxiety, but they're with a partner who experiences a lot of anxious feelings.
Now, Eric, did you send this question?
And they're saying that oftentimes they have trouble because when their partner is feeling anxious, they personally end up in kind of that fight or flight. They don't really know how to deal with it. The fire, you know, the emotional fire can be a bit too hot sometimes to be near, and they don't really know how to deal with it. So they're looking for some simple steps, maybe some awareness as to exactly what's going on in the situation.
Yeah, I love that. That's something that we definitely struggled with for a while. For me, when we learned this with our therapist, we kind of called it like the marshmallow gloves. Mm-hmm. Start out firstly like, I love you. You're amazing. I see how hard you're working. You're such a great mom. I just noticed that the other day you were raising your voice, and I know that this is something you're really working on, and I love you and I understand how much you're going through. So I can't imagine, you know, how hard it is, but is there anything I can do to support you in those ways? So it was, instead of saying like, can you stop yelling at kids all the time? Like, can you stop raising your voice? It was like super gentle, very marshmallow glove.
Yeah. And I think this is called kind of the gentle startup. We call it marshmallow gloves. John Gottman talks about the gentle startup, but it's this idea of kind of starting off slow and then revealing what your experience is of what's happening, and then making a request for a change, right? Mm-hmm. Exactly like you're talking about.
Yeah, and that was also something that really helped me when my anxiety was up, to be like, hey, I'm here. Mm-hmm. We can do this together. Like, you don't have to do this alone. Like, you're amazing. You could do it alone, but don't forget I'm here. So this is something we can do together. So there was that sense of like safety. I didn't feel as threatened as, you know, I make up in my head when I'm feeling anxious.
Yeah. And I also want to tackle this question kind of from a big picture view, right? Because the reality is sometimes when our partner is feeling anxious, it has nothing to do with us, right? We didn't do anything. We weren't the cause of those anxious feelings. When your partner is feeling anxious, you know, you really want to create a lifestyle, a relationship where you can have these bumpers in your life. So if your partner feels anxious fairly regularly, there needs to be a plan as to, hey, when you're feeling anxious, here's how you can take time for yourself. Here's how you can reconnect to yourself by going to the room, taking some breath, maybe going for a walk. So there's, outside of the conversation of your partner feeling anxious, you can create bumpers in your life, right? In terms of like, hey, in these moments, I think what's best is this. What do you think is best? What do you need in these moments? So that you can try to follow through on that. The other thing I want to say is that as a partner, when your partner is feeling anxious, right, and you're there sitting in that fire and you feel like you're trying to do that fight or flight, it's really important to be able to take a breath and just be with them. You want to be able to sit in that fire. Oftentimes you can kind of help them regulate by just putting a hand on their leg or putting a hand on them, right? Typically human touch, a really soft, calm, gentle touch helps to bring them to the moment. But what you really want to do is be able to sit in that fire and take a breath with them. Because oftentimes What happens in a relationship is when you're around somebody who has a very calm demeanor, you tend to calm down, right? Mm-hmm. But what happens is when you're anxious and your partner doesn't know how to deal with it, so if they start to get anxious and they start to have that emotional fusion with you because they don't know how to deal with it, well, that actually, then you start to feed off each other and the anxiety goes up for both of you. So what you really want to do is be able to take a breath, put your hand gently on them and just be with them. You literally don't have to say anything. Just your calm presence will often help your partner regulate. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? I don't know if you agree.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree. And I also think, kind of on that same note, I think it's so important to remember that when your partner is feeling anxious and, you know, you can see that there's a physiological change, their breathing gets faster, they're, you know, maybe they're becoming flush, maybe their breath is becoming more shallow or shortened, kind of look for those physiological signs. At that point, there's no point in trying to get anything across or solve anything or find, mm-hmm. you know, ideas for what are we going to do next, because they're in their reptilian brain. They're in their fight or flight brain. There's nothing that's going to register and there's no solutions that are going to come out of that until they calm down. And sometimes that can take over a day to come down from an anxiety attack. It can take a while. So as Eric was saying, you know, in the moment, you might be able to calm them down. But if you see that they're already in that like panic mode, there's no point in continuing the conversation or pushing it to go further or trying to find a solution or even you trying to help that person get out of it. Just be that calm presence. Just be that calm person for them, because in that moment, there's nothing you can do. There won't be a solution. So mm-hmm. you have to just cut the conversation there and focus on bringing that person back down.
Yeah, and just be with them, right? If mm-hmm. that's what they need. Like I said, be yeah. present. Don't walk away. Don't be like, I can't deal with this. You're being anxious. I'm going to let you have your panic attack on your own here yeah. and kind of walk off. Don't do that. Yeah. Sit with them. Be with them. Just yeah. be in their presence while you're calm. And that
in itself.
Or suggest
some of those bumpers. You know, do you want to go take a walk? Do you need to take a walk? Do you want to go sit up in your room? Why don't you go read a book? Like whatever the previously discussed bumpers are, mm-hmm. you know, maybe just reminding them of that, like, but stop the conversation. There's no point in continuing because nothing is coming in and nothing is going to come out that makes sense. At this point, they're just trying to say anything to get out of that feeling because it doesn't feel good. It hurts. It physically hurts to have that kind of reaction in your body.
Yeah. So as we're kind of wrapping up this question, it really is a two-prong approach, right? It's what happens outside of that kind of fire, if you will, mm-hmm. to create those bumpers, to create a life and different systems that when that happens, you have go-to agreements. But then within the conversation, it's all about trying to slow everything down, taking a breath, being that calm presence. And just as a partner, you know, sitting in the fire with the anxious spouse. All right. So for the next question, we're dealing with criticism, ooh. Right? So this is a partner who feels like their spouse is often criticizing their actions, especially in front of the kids. Sometimes this partner mentioned that their spouse is doing it in a way that's kind of constructive criticism, right? They're trying to give them feedback, but it can come off as very critical. So the question is around, how do you typically deal with this? How do you approach the situation as the partner who's being criticized? And how do you open that conversation up in order to try to stop the behavior?
So I think first off, it's so important to get clear on what criticism is, right? Because I know that in our relationship, it took time and practice for us to realize that like, oh, I'm not actually being criticized. Eric was just asking a question. And what was happening was when Eric would ask me a question, I would project all my insecurities and be like, you're criticizing me all the time. You're always criticizing me. Not knowing that, like, by doing that, I was criticizing him.
Yeah. And so that's a really great distinction. And I think it can be really hard to understand when a question's being asked in a really intense tone, yeah. right? So, like, where were you? You know, why are you late? Like, these things can seem like criticisms, but really they're just kind of an intense complaint, right? Behind a few words, which is, hey, I would love it if you could be on time more. So, anyways, barring that, let's say that the partner is actually criticizing.
Yeah. Yeah.
So how would I approach the situation when I'm being criticized? And I think it's really important to share your experience, right? Own your experience mm-hmm. and share it with your partner.
So important to talk about it.
Yeah. So in this case, it needs to be brought up. In the moment, oftentimes you can say things like, ah, like that hurt. Or you could say like, what is it you're trying to tell me? Or hey, that didn't really feel good when you talked to me that way. So you can do it in the moment, just as a little reminder, mm-hmm. right? But I think outside of the conversation, it needs to be brought up when you're both at a healthy place to say, hey, and talk about a specific moment. So, hey, yesterday when I was doing this, you came to me and what I heard was whatever you think the criticism is. And what that made me think about was that you think I'm a shitty dad, or that you don't think I'm a good husband, or, you know, you think I'm lazy, whatever you think the message is that she's trying to tell you, or probably even deeper, whatever message is that you thought in your mind when you heard that, mm-hmm. right? Because those can be two different things. She might criticize you and you're going to perceive it. It's going to hit home based on your own beliefs. So it's kind of deep level stuff here, but you have to bring it up and you have to own your experience. So, hey, yesterday, specific moment in time, when I heard or when I experienced this, I want to let you know that this is the thought that I had in that moment. Mm-hmm. And then you can reaffirm by, you know, solidifying your connection. So in that, after you say that, because it can hit home pretty intensely, you want to tell your partner, I know that you love me and I know that you want what's best for this family. I know that your intention is to, you know, help me improve. And I love that. I love that about you. I love that you challenge me. But instead, could you try to say it in this way? Or instead, and in that moment, when you say instead, make a request, mm-hmm. right? What is it you actually want to hear? So what we want to do here is we don't want to stop a behavior necessarily. You know, I think alternatively, we want to stop criticism, obviously. But more than anything, we want to give direction as to what we would like to hear in those moments. Because what's also really important is your partner is trying to send you a message. Mm-hmm. They're just kind of doing it in a really, you know, kind of guarded way, right? Typically, criticism is a way to control another person because you don't like what's happening and you feel out of control. So it's really important, you know, if you can create the awareness and take some breath, after you express what your experience of the event is, you want to try to understand what your partner is trying to tell you, mm-hmm. right? What is it you want in those moments? I want to try to help you in the best way possible. And you can even own your situation, right? When Kate used to come to me and say, I don't like it, you're always yelling at the kids. I think when I would talk about it calmly with you after, I would affirm like, hey, I just want to let you know, like, I don't like yelling at the kids. Like whenever I yell at the kids, I feel guilty. I feel like crap. Like, you know, when you're criticizing me, I get it. Like I also have this inner voice within me telling me how crappy I am of a dad. Mm-hmm. So I just want you to know that that's not how I want to show up either. And I need your help. So in those moments, this is what I would like to do. But what would you like in those moments? What is it that you want? What behavior are you trying to create? And this is what you have to ask your partner, the person who's criticizing you. You want to ask them what they want. They're trying to criticize you. They're trying to stop a behavior. Well, what behavior do they want you to replace it with?
Mm-hmm. There's always like an underlying message there, right? Mm-hmm. There's always something that they're trying to tell you. They might just not have the words for it. But also it could be that they don't feel like they're ever heard.
Yeah.
Maybe they've tried to bring it up to you before. I know for us, that was a big thing. Eric would try to bring up things in our relationship. He'd try to bring up behaviors that I was doing that were kind of rubbing him the wrong way. So he would kind of try to bring it up. Hey, Kate, can we talk about something? And every time he'd talk to me about it in a calm way that wasn't criticizing, I'd like run away from the conversation. So then because he wasn't being heard in those moments, he would criticize everything I was doing in the relationship.
Frustration would build up within me, sometimes resentment, and I didn't know what to do with those feelings.
Yeah,
right?
So every time I do something in the relationship, you would kind of, you'd criticize it. You, why are you doing that? You never do this. No. Like, and it was like, holy, I felt so attacked. But in the end, the reason he was criticizing me was because I wasn't taking the time to sit and listen to his want. Mm-hmm. I wasn't taking the time to sit and listen to what he was feeling and how he was experiencing the relationship. Instead, every time he tried to have a calm, collected conversation about it, I would run away. So it just left him to, well, if I see the behavior, I'll let her know that she's doing it and I don't like it. So I think it's so important to really listen to what your spouse is trying to say. And maybe think back, like, is this something they've tried to bring up before? Because they probably have. There's a reason they're criticizing.
I think that's such a great point. Like, what's the conversation they're trying to have behind the criticism? Mm-hmm. And when you're both at a healthy place, you know, this is what you want to do. You want to express your experience. You want to reveal what's going on for you. You want to make a request, say, hey, you know, I'd love for you to do less of this, but also this is how I would love for you to show up in those moments if you're willing. Mm-hmm. And then lastly, you want to get clear about what it is they want, mm-hmm. right? And I think if we're being totally honest, if you're able to be cool, calm, and collected and on your side of the street, when they tell you what they actually want, it's probably going to hit home and you're probably going to know a bit about what's going on.
You're like, duh. I knew that.
Let's end the episode on a bit of a lighter question before we kind of sign off today. So the last question is, what do you do when your spouse is resistant to spicing things up when it comes to sexual intimacy in your sex life, right? So this partner wants to get freaky and their partner has some resistance there, right? They're not sure about it. So how would you approach this if you were the partner trying to create more discovery, more adventure within your sex life?
I think the way you approach that conversation is so important. Kind of like we talked about with the first question, having that gentle approach when it comes to talking about it, you know, not coming in and being like, hey, I want to try something new. Do you want to do this tonight? Like explaining, you know, like that this isn't because you're unhappy in your sex life. It's because you want to try something new and that there's nothing wrong with what's going on right now and that you're happy and satisfied, but you're just curious to know what this position might feel like, or you're curious to know if you would enjoy this specific thing that you're requesting from your spouse. So coming in with a very gentle approach and explaining to that person, you know, why it is that you want to try this stuff, and coming at it from a place of love and, you know, I really do love what we're doing right now. I enjoy what we're experiencing right now. I just want to add a little more. I want to add a little spark to it. I want to change things up a little bit, not because there's anything wrong, just because I'm curious.
Yeah, because I want to have some novelty, right? I want to try new fun things. I want to discover you more.
Yeah.
I want to create a deeper connection with you. And yeah, I agree. The way you approach this conversation is really important, because I think oftentimes if you're like, hey, I want to try something new in the bedroom, the first place your partner's going to go is you're unsatisfied.
Yeah, you don't like our sex.
Yeah.
There's something wrong.
And they're, you know, unless they're in a very solid, healthy place, they're going to take that personally. So I think when you approach this conversation, it really is about, I'm fully satisfied and I want to discover more. I want more novel. I want to know you more. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important that every single time you have this conversation, it needs to stay in the realm of pleasure and connection for both of you, right? So what I say all the time is, when we start to approach things in sexuality, we want to make sure that we have really healthy boundaries around pleasure and connection being the focus. So it's almost an agreement. Hey, if we're going to go down this road of discovery, I really need us both to be honest when we're not experiencing pleasure, we're not experiencing connection. So if you being all tied up and gagged and me whipping you is not creating pleasure and connection for you, well, we need to stop.
You gotta tell me.
Right.
But if it is. You gotta tell me if you can't breathe.
That's right. Yeah. You gotta hum and ho.
So come up with a safe word as well.
Right. but I do think that that is the frame of the conversation, right? Because oftentimes what happens is you want to try something, but you forget that, hey, your partner also wants to experience more pleasure and more connection.
Right.
So immediately they're going to start to ask, well, what am I getting out of this? Right. You're bringing up the conversation. What do you want? Is this clear about you? And instead you want to frame it and have a healthy boundary of, the priority for both of us here is to have more pleasure and more connection. So as we kind of go down this road, we want to make sure that at any point, if that's not happening, we're open and honest, right?
Yeah.
So that sets the foundation for the conversation.
Yeah.
Now, do you want to talk about novelty?
Yeah, absolutely. So the first thing that came up for me when I heard this question was, well, what are you doing in your life that's already kind of adventurous? Like, are you eating the same dinner? Like, have you been eating the same dinners for like 5 years? Do you have a very strict routine and every night looks the same and you watch TV and you've been watching the same shows? Like, is your life kind of mundane? And then all of a sudden you're like, I want to try something new in the bedroom. It's like, that might not be the first place to start adding novelty to your life. So my biggest suggestion would be to, you know, start adding novelty in different areas of your life before bringing it up in the bedroom. Get your spouse used to the idea of you wanting to try new things. Get your spouse kind of in the mood of like experiencing adventure and new, you know, new experiences together. And then bring up the bedroom after you've added new spices to your food repertoire, or after you've gone to a different takeout restaurant, or, you know, whatever it is that might get you out of your regular day-to-day routine. You know, had some novelty that way before bringing up that big, you know, novelty question.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, two things are going to happen here, which is really great. I mean, number one, you want to make sure that you're not using your sex life to be the only place that's fulfilling that sense of adventure for you, mm-hmm. right? It's really important that you create your own sense of adventure, that you're out doing adventurous things in the world, and don't put too much pressure on your sex life to do that. Now, nothing wrong with adventure in the bedroom, which is really great. We're huge advocates of that. But just make sure that you're not trying to use sexual adventure to fulfill something that you could find somewhere else. Mm-hmm. The other thing that's really important to think about is, you know, and I actually had a member who experienced this in one of my programs, is he realized that when he started to create fun and adventure and playfulness outside of the bedroom, well, his wife approached him and started to ask if they wanted to try stuff in the bedroom without him even prompting it.
Oh,
right. Yeah. And because what happens is it's exciting. It's new. It's something I want to try. And you feel closer to the person. So you start to get your mind going, right? Your partner starts to get creative. They start to think of new novel ways. Mm-hmm. They're like, oh, this new thing was so much fun. And then they start to think for themselves what they want to do that's new. So oftentimes what I say is, you know, I'm not saying this is the case in everything, but you might actually just introduce novel things in your life and all of a sudden it might just translate very easily to the bedroom and you might never have the conversation. But I do think it's really important to think about what novel things are you creating in your life so you can kind of have this sense of adventure in your life that easily translates to the bedroom.
Absolutely. And a last thing to consider here is deep ingrained beliefs. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
And this is what I talk about a lot. So, you know, if you think about brakes and accelerators, and Emily Nagoski talks about this in her book, Come As You Are, but she has these two ideas where, you know, oftentimes the high desire partner will be trying to accelerate towards something, right? In this case, accelerating towards a sense of adventure. And we also have brakes in our life, right? Things that stop the forward momentum of sexual connection. Mm-hmm. And what I always say is the beliefs that we were raised with can often serve as an accelerator or a brake. So you have to be very careful because sometimes you might bring up an idea of what you want to do to be more adventurous. Maybe that's, you know, oral play, maybe that's butt stuff, like whatever the case may be. And your partner, based on how they were raised, based on their belief system around sex, they might have a major break there. You really need to slowly start to deconstruct that belief and move towards pleasure and connection because this is a belief that they have. And unless you bring it to the surface, right? Unless you try to understand what the barrier is and you really try to understand your partner and where they're coming from, you're never going to overcome it.
Yeah. And it's totally okay to ask those questions. Like, is there anything stopping you from wanting to try this? Oh, well, you know, in high school, there was this one girl and this is what everybody called her because she was the only one who did that. And it's like, oh, wow. Okay. So I can understand how far back these beliefs go. So it's going to be a journey for me to get to possibly maybe never get oral sex from this person because some of those beliefs are so deeply ingrained that it's sometimes impossible to break those channels. But if you create a space for your partner to understand, like, hey, I want to try this and I want you to feel safe. And like you said at the beginning, you know, the focus on pleasure and connection. If at any point you're doing this and you feel dirty, you don't feel well about it, you don't feel okay about it, we'll stop. You know, so giving it a try might take a long time to get there. And then when they do get there, it might take a lot of trial and error and I don't like it, I want to stop. I don't want like it, I want to stop. It doesn't mean you have to, you know, never try again and don't bring it up. Keep bringing it up. It's okay, but do it in a very respectful way and always keeping in mind those deeply ingrained beliefs.
Yeah, and there's a few beliefs I really want to deconstruct here as we kind of wrap up this episode. I mean, number one, you personally have to get rid of the belief like somehow your partner has to do what you want them to
things.
Do, right?
Yeah.
It's not up to your partner to fulfill any sort of sexual desire for you. They weren't put on this earth for your sexual pleasure. So that's number one, right? If they do not want to do something.
There are toy stores for that. No, I'm
right.
kidding.
Well, what you know what I mean? Sorry, I didn't mean to say right. I was like, right.
Right.
But no, I definitely want to say this because I think sometimes we try to guilt, shame, convince our partner to do something that they just don't want to do.
Like, hey, we're married. You should be giving me oral. And
right.
it's like, no.
Or hey, that belief you have is ridiculous. Like,
yeah.
no.
Get
belief,
over it.
Yeah. The belief you have makes total sense based on how you were raised and based on your thoughts. And we often forget, right? Sometimes these beliefs are so deeply ingrained. It could be about religious beliefs that we have. It could be about previous relationships that we've had.
Trauma, past trauma.
Exactly. So it's really important that foundationally, your partner, what you actually want from them is to want to have pleasure and connection with you. So if you're trying to drive a behavior, a sense of adventure that is going to make them feel uncomfortable, I'll be honest with you, that's probably not what you want, right? You don't want to do that. It feels gross.
Yeah, you're not going to feel good if you force your partner into doing anything that they're not very comfortable with. That's
totally.
Trust me.
And then we fall back into duty sex and it's like, oh, I'm just doing it for you. Yeah. Like, you know, so I do think it's really important. You know, that's kind of the how I would approach this whole thing is number one, make the focus pleasure and connection for both of you. Then you really want to talk about this idea of, hey, I'm perfectly satisfied. Everything's absolutely great. And I want deeper connection. And then really start to think about how you're adding novelty in your life outside of the bedroom. Don't put too much pressure on your sex life to create your own sense of adventure. And then lastly, think about the barriers. Think about the reason there's resistance. Really try to understand your spouse. So many times we try to bring our spouse somewhere, but really the idea of that deep, intimate sexual connection is actually going within your spouse, right? Really understanding them at a core level. That's how you create deep sexual connection. And so instead of trying to bring your partner somewhere on a new adventure, really try to understand and give them the space to open up about what the resistance is.
Absolutely. I love that. That was fun. I enjoyed answering those questions.
Yeah, absolutely. So
keep them coming.
Yeah, we'll try to do more of these. We really, really appreciate you all. If you are a listener and you do have a question for us, just go ahead and email us info@evolvemarriage.com. If you did like this episode, please subscribe, rate, and review the podcast. It always helps us out and helps us get our message out there. If you're a man who's looking to really elevate his marriage and lead his wife in and out of the bedroom, I do have a free Evolve Men's community that you can join where other high-level men are really trying to help each other and support each other to lead in their marriages. Otherwise, I'll put all our links in the show notes and we look forward to getting back with you next week.
Yes.
All right. We love you.
Bye.
Bye.